You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are, October 20th, 2022, reminding you we are live streaming at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you to our page. You can see previous rumbles, and you can push a button and join us live in studio. If you do, welcome. If you can't do it now, remember you can always go back later and look at them, and you can always get the podcast, the audio portion, at larryconnorsusa.com. Every day after we finish up the program, be posted shortly. And you can always subscribe. Let me remind you, you can subscribe. Cost you nothing. We do not sell your information to anyone, but we'll make sure everything gets delivered right to your mailbox so you can listen at your pleasure. Don't have to worry about staying on top of things. Note to President Biden. Note to President Biden. Did you see what happened in Britain? Liz Truss resigning as Britain's prime minister after just 6 weeks, making her the UK's shortest-serving leader ever. Why? Well, she said, I cannot see how I can bring about the changes and the things we need, and my original plans are not working. It's been a disastrous 6 weeks, so I think it's time for me to step aside and let someone else do it. Biden, President Biden, did you hear that? You know what? I don't know if he's even begun to recognize the harm and damage he's done to our nation. I really don't. And that in itself is frightening. Many Democrats themselves have already acknowledged that. But again today, and yesterday I should say, President Biden defending his decision to release another 15 million in oil reserves just to keep your gas prices low just as we go into the midterm elections. Reporters were asking about that decision to release more oil, saying, is that decision political? Okay, now you know when you ask a question like that, you know what the answer is going to be. But you still ask it because you want to get him on record. Mr. President, releasing oil from the national reserves just weeks before the election, is that a political decision? His answer, no, it's not. It's not. It makes sense. I've been doing this for how long now? It's not politically motivated at all. Yeah, he's done it previously. He is now up in the time he's been in office, authorized something like more than 200 million barrels while telling our U.S. oil and gas companies, shut it down. And we're going to drive you out of business. Oh, look at this. VP Harris has some guests who showed up for dinner at VP Harris's house in D.C. Official residence, anyway. The Naval Observatory. Another busload of illegals from Texas. Again, Texas Governor Abbott sending these illegals into sanctuary cities, D.C. being one, and why not drop them right in front of VP Harris's house? This latest bus of those being delivered comes about a month after he sent another bus inside. VP, of course, did not show up to greet them. That's very odd, isn't it? I thought she's all about having them come. Why does she go out and invite them in? Why does she say, you know, we got extra rooms here. We could take some families here. Because there's not a single leftist that will say, open the borders, we want to welcome them, and they all should be able to come in. But I'm not putting them in my house. I'm not putting them in Martha's Vineyard. President Joe Biden taking another step today, saying, I would absolutely support using federal taxpayer monies for the abortion, for an abortion. Now, it began with a question about would you use taxpayer funds to pay for child care and time off for women seeking an abortion? He said, absolutely, I support that. And the abortion itself. This is the same man who went with against the Hyde Amendment, being the good Catholic he was, saying we're not going to use federal dollars to pay for an abortion. But at this point, Why not? Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri is introducing legislation affirming that Chinese President Xi and his top associates are, quote, personally complicit in genocide against the Uyghur Muslims. This is basically saying that they're complicit in crimes against humanity, and they're going to talk about sanctions freezing U.S.-controlled assets of President Xi and top officials and bar them from the U.S. because, as Senator Hawley says, Joe Biden is too distracted. That's a fact. Coming up, more about the illegals coming in and the abortion debate. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The mayor promised me in May that if this thing ever got really bad, that he would absolutely declare a disaster declaration. And that has not happened. He said, not at this time. You know, the White House asked me not to do it.
El Paso, Texas city council member claims the Biden administration urged the city's mayor not to declare a state of emergency over migration. Today's New York Post cover calls the situation a text mess, claiming Biden officials pressured El Paso not to draw attention to border disasters.
Yep, they don't want any attention drawn to border disasters. Now, that was the story yesterday, and it's being updated. That's why I want to make sure you understand where we are here with this. The story yesterday, according to an El Paso city councilwoman, she said the mayor of El Paso told her that if the situation gets critical enough here in El Paso with illegals coming across, then I'll ask for an emergency declaration. Get us some federal dollars here to help out. Now, you've already looked at other areas that are considered sanctuary cities, like D.C., and New York City, and they quickly started crying out, we need federal dollars, we need a disaster declaration, we cannot afford to make this work, because illegals of 9 to 10,000 are delivered to them. There's 10 to 30 to 50 times that amount coming across the Texas border on a daily basis, and El Paso being one of those points where they're getting anywhere from 1,000 to 2,500 daily. So the councilwoman said, the mayor had promised me. He promised me that if it gets bad, we will, in fact, ask for an emergency declaration. That was the story yesterday, and in that midst of her remarks, she said at that time, the mayor told me he was told by the Biden White House, cool your jets, don't be asking for an emergency declaration. You're just going to make a bigger deal of what's going on down there. Well, it is a big deal in El Paso and all along the border. But the White House still has this hands off. I mean, we don't see it. We don't know. I mean, when you get the White House spokeswoman saying and denying to reporters, they're not just walking across the river. They're not doing that. They're doing it on a constant basis. And if the water is too deep, they're swimming across. And yes, I've heard, you probably have too, some said, you put alligators in that Rio Grande, that'll change a lot of things. Well, of course it would. But I don't want to see anyone die, period. Maybe you just put up a sign in Spanish and whatever other language are coming from whatever country. Alligators might be present. Maybe, or crocodiles might be more appropriate for some. And that might back some off. I'm not getting in that water. But let's go back now to a Fox report trying to update the story with the mayor of El Paso, Mayor Leaser, and get his input on what the story was and where it stands now.
Did the White House ask you not to declare a state of emergency?
Absolutely not. You know, one of the things I'm very thankful for the White House, the federal government, they've done a really, really good job of working with us and helping us to make sure we get funding to be able to do the job that border cities are required to do. You know, as a border city, we have responsibilities, and that's one of the things that we continue to do. One of the things we need to learn and really make sure we do is that we take the politics out of this. We have human lives. We have human people here. You know, I read the headlines, you know, Democratic mayor. You know, yeah, I ran as a Democrat, but it's really important that once we run for office and we get elected, we take the R or the D away from our names and understand that we have to represent 100% of the people that elected us.
Well, that's the way it should be, but too many are already locked in to whatever follows their name, be it a D or an R, or an I, to that extent. But he denied there. He said, no, the White House didn't really say that to us. So I don't know how the city councilwoman was told one thing that she says he told her, but then when the microscope zooms in a little tighter, then the story changes. You remember the Truth or Consequences program, Groucho Marx? Remember that? Do you believe the mayor or the councilwoman? You could believe both and then say, well, it did change. But you listen to the mayor, he said, no, that was absolutely not. They never told me to do that. Yeah. You know what? They got 11,000 sent up to New York City in recent times. I told you today that another busload, that'd be about 40 to 50 illegals, were dropped off in front of VP Harris's official residence, the Naval Observatory in D.C. She didn't bother coming out and saying, welcome to America, glad to have you. Didn't offer them to come in for a cup of coffee or tea or sandwiches or whatever. She's ignoring them, just like the White House hopes. Everybody ignores the issue at the border. If you're living in the midst of it, you can't. That is why I really applaud, Governor Abbott and DeSantis and Arizona pushing illegals right on up to the northern states and the sanctuary areas. And in the meantime, the Biden administration continues to do its flights. They are still taking illegals to the north or other places away from the border. They're trying to do it quietly, but it's still going on. But now, New York City said in the beginning, we're going to need emergency funding. We're going to need maybe bring in the U.S. Ship Hope, the Mercy ship, and park it offshore here or right at our dock so we can put a lot of illegals on there. Or we're going to have to build a tent city. Then we don't know what we're going to do about that. Or we're going to take over housing and hotel space and so forth and basically kick the homeless out of whatever shelter they got at that point to let the illegals get in. But now they got a whole new thing they just opened up. Now, I want you to hear that this is for single adult males who are here illegally. Single adult males. That's not my phrasing. That's the phrasing from the city of New York in describing what they're offering. Stand by and listen.
If you're a single adult man, you're going to come here to this facility starting tomorrow.
When migrants first walk in after intake, they will see a recreational room set up with rows of couches, TVs, Xboxes, and board games. There will also be a phone bank so migrants can connect with family in order to find more permanent housing.
We can do that in 24 hours, maybe even less. Many times, it's going to take longer than that. It could take days.
Next, there is a cafeteria that will provide migrants with three meals a day, and snacks, coffee, and tea will be available 24/7.
Those meals are all culturally appropriate. It is South American fare. The menu rotates on a regular basis.
This woke, the meals are culturally appropriate. Maybe they would like some American food, a good old greasy cheeseburger or pizza. But no, we're going to serve them what they're normally used to eating, I guess. Because we're being woke and culturally appropriate and aware of what they were eating before they came here, and we're going to try to match. But this is for single adult males. Now, riddle me this. How do they know if that's a male? I mean, we've got a Supreme Court justice on the bench now that in her confirmation hearings could not even describe what a woman is. So how are the New York City officials going to say, okay, that's a man, he could stay here? And then on top of that, what are they doing for the women? And then what are they doing for the trans community? Oh, my God, they're blowing it. They're doing, they might as well put a change, might as well put beanbag chairs in there and a box of Cheetos. And then giving them TV and video games. I mean, welcome to America. All right, let's go back to the issue of abortion that is the Democrats were still hoping, as Biden did earlier this week when addressing members of the Democrat National Committee, abortion is our rally flag. People will, they're upset about this and women's rights. And as I told you just today, he acknowledged that he is willing to support the use of federal funds to pay for the abortion itself, to pay for the abortion, federal dollars. That won't hold, but that's his plan. So Senator Rubio, Republican in Florida, is running against a Congresswoman, Val Demings. And Rubio apparently has a good lead on her, but they got into their debate on abortion. I want to share some of that with you.
The extremist on abortion in this campaign is Congresswoman Demings. She supports no restrictions, no limitations of any kind. She voted against she's against a four-month ban. She voted against a five-month ban. She supports taxpayer-funded abortion on demand for any reason at any time up until the moment of birth. That's what she supports. That's the extreme position here. I have shown a willingness to work with people to save unborn innocent human life. She opposes any limitation of any kind, and no one ever asks them about that.
Congresswoman Demings.
Senator, how gullible do you really think Florida voters are? Number one, you have been clear that you support no exceptions, even including rape and incest. Now, as a police detective who investigated cases of rape and incest, no, Senator, I don't think it's okay for a 10-year-old girl to be raped and have to carry the seed of her rapist.
That is a delicate question and an area, obviously. I don't know if she quoted Senator Rubio exactly, but I know a lot of folks who are pro-life, anti-abortion, when it comes to those two cases, they have some quibbling going on, and I think it's understandable. I do as well. I'm not going to claim that I am above the fray. It gets to a point where it gets very concerning as to what are we going to be doing. But again, that's really a small consideration of what's involved. But that's the point that Congresswoman Val Demings is trying to hammer home. When calling those who fight to protect unborn babies extremists, they go the other way. Senator Rubio says, well, you want to talk extreme? I'll tell you extreme.
Here's extreme. Okay, a child that's born alive after a failed abortion. It happened 11 times in Florida in 2017. It happened 8 times in 2020. A child on a failed abortion born alive. And we had doctors in America that refused to treat or provide medical care to a child born alive. And we tried to pass a law that said that should be a crime. That's infanticide. The abortion failed. The child was born alive and you refused to treat it. And she voted against that. That's how extreme she is. And she still will not tell you. You should ask her, what limits on abortion will you support?
Congresswoman?
What we know is that the senator supports no exceptions. He can make his mouth say anything today. He's good at that, by the way. What day is it and what is Marco Rubio saying? I've said time and time again, and he knows it, that I support a woman's right to choose up to the time of viability.
That's a key phrase, up to the time of viability. The Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade established a right to abortion up until the point in a pregnancy when a fetus could survive outside the womb. And so for decades, the point of viability was considered 24 weeks into pregnancy. Recent years, medical and other advances have nudged the threshold slightly earlier. Now many hospitals will attempt to provide life-saving treatment, resuscitation, ventilation to babies delivered at 23 weeks of pregnancy. In a smaller percentage, aggressive treatment has enabled survival of babies born as early as 22 weeks. But when she says a point of viability, what I think, in my mind, what she's saying, even as a child is being born, and that is unacceptable. But she will not answer that question directly because she knows how damning that would be to admit, yeah, I am willing to do exactly what Rubio suggested, that if they're born, even after an attempted abortion, we can still kill them. Let's be candid, kill them. Or even if they have not been a product of an abortion, the mother suddenly decides, I don't want this baby. Even as they're preparing to take the baby from the womb, they say, okay, I guess we abort. Democrats are counting on this to work for them. But the latest numbers show abortion is not going to be that big of a concern, especially among the main constituents they think would support them. We'll break that down for you and the predicted forecast for House and Senate seats. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So once again, reference the viability issue, and I tell you this, and I know that many on the left that are all about abortion, and they want no restrictions. That means at the moment of birth, that's their real meaning of viability, not 22 weeks or 24 weeks or 26 weeks if the baby can live outside the womb. They're talking about at the moment of birth. That is no restrictions on abortion. Yes, that's extreme. And, of course, they're counting that a lot of the, since most of the Planned Parenthood centers are placed in minority communities, they're counting on black women to stand with them and support that. Well, I mentioned this the other day, and it bears repeating again. First of all, the Pew Research Center says the number of black eligible voters has grown steadily in recent years, expected to reach about just under 33 million by November. Black women represent 53% of those black eligible voters. That's slightly higher than all eligible voters. But a Higher Heights survey found when what's going to drive black women to the polls is not going to be abortion. The Higher Heights survey found 76% of black women said they were extremely worried about inflation and rising cost of everyday essentials, rent, housing, groceries, gas, so forth. A third citing the cost of rent and housing as a top concern. Pocketbook issues ranking number one and two. Reproductive justice, which would be abortion rights, a distant third, 21%. So it's not going to be the silver bullet that many of the Democrats are hoping. And the farther we get from the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling, the less interest. Unless you're actively involved in an abortion or looking for one or have a family member, it's not at the top of your mind right now. You can go back to James Carville when he's running the Clinton campaign. It's an economy, stupid. And he's right. It was then, it is now. It's the economy, stupid. And Biden and team recognize it. They just don't know what to do about it because they have screwed it up so royally. They can't do anything to change it except pull more oil out of the oil reserves and get your gas prices down a little bit more just before the election. Buying your vote. Perfect example. Now, if the votes go down as expected, I'm listening yesterday, and this is the opinion of Newt Gingrich. He's obviously a political force. He was a Republican House leader and so forth, contract with America under Reagan. And I trust his wisdom. I don't have anything to refute him. I don't know of anything that can really support him. Generally, the attitude has reached now that Republicans will claim anywhere from 40 to 50-plus seats in the House that are up for grabs right now. Well, all the seats are up for grabs, but they will end up coming out 40 to 50 seats higher than what they are. That'd be a massive majority for Kevin McCarthy as he becomes a House Speaker. And in the Senate, Newt Gingrich is predicting, oh, by the way, Newt did say the number that everyone seems to settle on, there'll be a pickup of 44 votes for Republicans. That's still going to be a significant number. And in the Senate, he said the predictions range from, and he said he tends to agree with it, from picking up 3 Senate seats for the Republicans up to maybe 7 or even 9. I think he's putting his number primarily at 5. A lot of things are still in play. Herschel Walker has pulled neck and neck with Warnock in Georgia. All their smear campaigns against Herschel is not working. The debate has helped get him extra points. And then you have Fetterman and Oz, and Fetterman is just so out to lunch. Granted, the man has had a stroke of some type, and you give him that allowance, but that means he's an unsuitable candidate. And he wants to set up zones, health-free zones where he can shoot up heroin. And he wants to let people just out of jail left and right. This is what the Democrats are offering you. And yet, of course, they don't want to really campaign right now. And don't say it out loud, letting people out of jail. Fetterman, you can do that up there, but don't do it across the nation. I mean, we need these votes too much. And don't say out loud, defund the police. Don't say that. Don't say that. Cori Bush in Missouri hasn't gotten the word. She still shouts it while spending, at last documented report, maybe up to $500,000 from her campaign funds for personal security. When we come back, there's a move that's taking place that by any means would be considered racist. But, of course, since it's involving black or minority people, it can't be racist, right? They can't be racist. Oh, yes, they can. And then, to begin with, I want you to hear from a voice that will be familiar with you. May not seem the voice you hear today, but he made the statement you want to hear.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no middle man. This ain't no place for no hero to call home.
This ain't no place for no. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Take back the streets. It doesn't matter whether or not the person that is accosting your son or daughter or my son or daughter, my wife, your husband, my mother, your parents. It doesn't matter whether or not they were deprived as a youth. It doesn't matter or not whether or not they had no background that enabled them to have to become socialized into the fabric of society. It doesn't matter whether or not they're the victims of society. The end result is they're about to knock my mother on the head with a lead pipe, shoot my sister, beat up my wife, take on my sons. So I don't want to ask, what made them do this? They must be taken off the street. That's number one. There's a consensus on that.
That is a powerful law and order speech, is it not? They were not going to let these criminals run wild on the street, regardless of their socioeconomic status and all the things that supposedly they've been deprived. We're not going to allow it. We're going to stand up against it. That's a very firm law and order speech. The speaker was making that statement in front of the U.S. Senate. And at the time, everybody was applauding and acknowledging he's right. We don't want them out there beating your mother or your grandmother in the head with a pipe, taking whatever they want. We're going to grab them. We're going to put them in jail, lock them up, and make them pay. And we're not going to listen to all their social whining. Well, I didn't have this. I didn't have that. And some of it you have to accept, yeah, that probably turned them that way. But they're either going to conform and go back the other way, or they're going to stay locked up and too many become habitual criminal. And some will say, well, because you put them in jail, you're going to make them a habitual criminal. No, that's still their choice. The speaker you were listening to for that 1993 address to the Senate was Senator Joe Biden, Democrat of Delaware. Now, he wasn't the only one making such a speech at that time. That was, again, in 93. But there have since been statements that were similar. And in particular, you might recall this name of, that was in 93 with Biden talking about that. In 96, someone else you would know was also basically talking about super predators, and she was talking specifically about young black groups and gangs as super predators in 1996. That would be Hillary Clinton. Well, back to Joe Biden on the floor of the Senate in 93. He's already told you that we're going to control and punish these criminals, and then he gets into specifics of who is responsible.
Unless we do something about that cadre of young people, tens of thousands of them, born out of wedlock, without parents, without supervision, without any structure, without any conscience developing, because they literally, I yield myself three more minutes, because they literally have not been socialized, they literally have not had an opportunity. We should focus on them now. If we don't, they will, or a portion of them will, become the predators 15 years from now. And Madam President, we have predators on our streets. That society has, in fact, in part because of its neglect, created. Again, it does not mean because we created them that we somehow forgive them or do not take them out of society to protect my family and yours from them.
Well, again, that's Joe Biden in 93, a very strong law and order speech. So they've had a difficult time, but we're not going to give them a pass. We're not going to do what we're doing now under the Biden administration and basically all woke Democrats and George Soros putting rogue prosecutors in place. Well, if they've had a tough time, we're just going to give them a pass. We're not going to demand bail because they might not have the money, and economically they can't afford it, so that's not fair to them, and it would primarily target the very ones that Biden was referring to, and the ones that Hillary Clinton also used the term, super predators. And Hillary got called out when she ran for president on that point. One activist from Charlotte interrupted Clinton during a fundraiser and said, I want an apology for the high incarceration rate for black Americans because of your words when you voiced support for supposedly the now debunked theory of super predators. That's what Clinton said in 96. They're often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. They have no empathy, no conscience. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heal. Not as in healing and making you feel better, but heal like you tell a dog to heal. Well, she had to eat those words and back off, say, I regret using those words. Because she needs those votes of super predators if they're going to vote. Now, a lot of this, you know, you might think, well, this sounds like it's all built around racism. It's targeting blacks. And it's, you know, it's not. It's targeting criminals. And if the majority of them are the ones ransacking those stores, when you see the video, hoodie or not, it's pretty clear who's involved. Now, that does not mean all the black population, obviously. Period. Don't even think it does. But when you've got gangs running in like that, the very ones that Joe Biden was talking about in 93, the very ones Clinton was talking about in 96 as super predators, they're there. Tucker Carlson made a point last night pointing out how a major network now, MSNBC, has basically made itself, you know, a race-baiting operation and pushing the whole issue of race is an explanation, but it's turned 180 degrees from super predators, quote, black, toward white. And MSNBC is now fomenting and pushing this on a program anchored by a woman named Tiffany Cross. Here's some excerpts.
We see American white people are going crazy. They're resorting to violence.
This is literally what conservative white folks do when they don't get their way. They turn violent.
White people deputizing themselves in some position of authority to have jurisdiction over their life when they need to mind their blanking business.
I don't think it's our responsibility to be tasked with destroying and dismantling the racial oppression that's against us. That's just saying we're more at fault than the white people who constructed this system and the white people who continue to practice institutional racism.
A majority of white people do not support policies that would unpack and unroll and reform this system of justice. This is what they want. Matt Gaetz is giving the white folks what they want.
White replacement can strangle culture. So, yes, we should all be concerned about white replacement. It is, after all, a very threat to our survival here.
And yet, how do you explain that so many blacks are now joining the Republican Party and so many Latinos? Because the Democrat Party has just been banging that same old drum and making it all about race. And many of the black Republicans, I mean, those blacks who have become Republicans, say that's everybody can be racist if you think anyone is better or worse than you because of their skin color. That's racism, period. And it has nothing to do. It has to do with the actions of the person, much as issue of gun control. It's not the gun. It's how it's used and who's using it and in what way. But in the midst of those on the left that want to make everyone white feel bad, and if you are a black or Hispanic and you end up going to the Republican side, well, then you're persona non grata. That's why you get somebody like Fetterman in Pennsylvania running for the Senate saying, you know, I'll open up the jail cells. And he's not the only one. Congressman Tim Ryan, Democrat of Ohio, running against Republican J.D. Vance for that U.S. Senate seat in Ohio, he's pledging to free 1 million inmates from prisons across the nation. He said, why? Because the bail system is inherently unfair. So you're going to go free 1 million inmates across the nation. That's counter to what you were hearing Joe Biden say at the beginning of this. And my concern, again, is all of this talk is more divisive, is not unifying us. Recognize someone for the actions they took and punish them for those actions. Now, there may be cases for leniency, depending upon various circumstances, or not being as harsh, plea deals, so forth. But if they're of the attitude, if they are among the predators, as Hillary Clinton called them, they're going to just take advantage of that and do it again and again and again. We know that. And then I want to show you how far this racism thing has gone, in the sense that a black Republican candidate, a female, a military service member serving her country, is being slammed racially.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
All right, so here's the story. You know, the Congressional Black Caucus, and again, I always point out, why do you have to have a Congressional Black Caucus? I speak against it every time I can, because if you created a white caucus, well, you know the noise it would start. And we are past having to justify a lot of things that the basic premise of the Congressional Black Caucus was built upon. They have used the resources constantly to ensure black Americans, quote, have the opportunity to achieve the American dream. That's the way they say. But I want to point out something what they're doing here. There's a black Republican candidate, Jennifer Ruth Green, running for Congress in Indiana's 1st Congressional District. If she's elected, she would become the only black Republican woman in the U.S. House of Representatives. May I say that again? She would become the only black Republican woman in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, if the Black Caucus is really about ensuring black Americans have the opportunity to achieve the American dream, they would support her, right? When they put money in, oh, she's going to run the other party, but, you know, she's part of the American dream. She's also an American, and in fact, she's also served in the military in the past for us. She was overseas in Iraq for a period of time. And something happened there that her challenger, her white male challenger, is bringing up. And it's atrocious that this is being done. But I don't hear anybody, I don't hear word one from the left or the state-controlled media. And we all know why. But the bottom line is, the Congressional Black Caucus is not giving any money to Jennifer Ruth Green in her run for Indiana's 1st Congressional District. They are donating $5,000 to the reelection efforts of the sitting incumbent, Frank Mervan, Democrat. Neither the Congressional Black Caucus nor its chair, Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, I think it is, Democrat of Ohio, is responding to a request by Daily Caller for some comments. The CBC founders envisioned the caucus as a nonpartisan organization, but they've shied away from accepting black Republicans into the group. So that obviously, if you're black but you're Republican, you ain't really black, I guess. Is that what they're trying to say? They prohibited black Republican Congressman Byron Donalds, Republican of Florida, from joining the caucus last year. And Donalds' spokesman said, the sad reality is that the congressman and those in the Congressional Black Caucus share the same race. The R behind his name disqualifies him as membership in the Congressional Black Caucus. Well, Green is absolutely out raising money, according to against Mervan, who the CBC is supporting, but that's good. I hope it turns out it stays that way. But the latest report, according to the Cook Political Report, this is still a toss-up. Voters in that 1st Congressional District have not sent a Republican to Congress since 1932. And here's where the politics gets really dirty. Really dirty. Jennifer Ruth Green, when she was serving in Iraq, said she was a victim of sexual assault. She had gone to her supervisor, her in command, I should say, the chain of command, and reported it, and basically was told, you just need to forget that, just go on, it's basically it happens, let it go. I don't hear any women's groups out there crying out for her justice, be they black or white. And I certainly don't hear the Black Caucus calling out that she got, you know, she should have her case heard. What I am seeing is that the white man opposing her decided to illegally leak her military records after it was reported she was a victim of sexual assault. And her statement is, I'm a survivor of sexual trauma in the military. I'm now being forced to share this information outside my own timeline and for the first time publicly because my congressman, Frank Mervan, and his cronies illegally obtained my military records describing my sexual assault. And she added, his team fished the details of my assault to different news outlets, asking them to share misinformation to portray me as a failed military officer who lacks integrity. And she adds, this is false. Why don't you stop and think about that for a moment? Regardless of color, a political opponent goes after someone who's been a victim of rape, assault of some type, and he brings it out in the public when it had not been known in the public. She knew about it. Some military knew about it, but they all just wanted it to go away. But for a campaign purpose, they bring it out and say she was a target of rape just to smear her name. Well, what are they trying to say? She asked for it? Good God, I mean, you know. If you're watching on YouTube, be glad I don't, I mean, on Rumble right now. Be glad I don't have a match because that script would be on fire right now. As always, I thank you for listening. Share and let your friends, family know we're on the air, even your enemies. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.